Husker Doc Talk Podcast 2014, number 15. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. Needless to say, but we'll say it anyway, it's a pretty damn big week in Husker football as they hit the road and, well, going to take on the Wisconsin Badgers. And who else to bring in to talk about that but the brains behind this entire operation, our good friend, he's your good friend, he's my good friend, Dr. Rob Zadisko. What's up, Doc?
How are you doing?
It's a very big week. And the funny thing, let's start off by talking about this. And that is, we now found out on Monday that Nebraska and Wisconsin are going to play for the Freedom Trophy, which quite possibly is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard of. Because when I think of freedom, I think of Wisconsin and I think of Nebraska. What I was hoping that we could do is really get like a true Big Ten trophy. We could have taken a block of cheese and made it into a cob of corn and just called it like cheese dick or something like that. But as far as Big Ten trophy games goes,
that's horrible.
It is horrible, isn't it? But it's still kind of funny.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Okay, but let's be honest. You know, they play for Paul Bunyan's axe, the old oaken bucket, and all that good stuff. And Nebraska gets to play a Heroes game and now a Freedom game. That's boring.
You know what? The whole rivalry trophy thing needs to be earned. If it's not earned, it just doesn't do anything for me.
You know, and I get why they wanted to have one for the Iowa game because of the border war and all that other stuff. But I'm 100% with you. If you force a rivalry with corporate sponsorships, Hy-Vee and the Heroes game, and who knows if somebody gets behind this one, it just comes off as fake and it's not genuine, and there's no real emotion behind it. Now, those other Big Ten schools have so much history and so much tradition that go behind the rivalries. That's what makes it. They were earned over time. It just seems
and a lot of those trophies even have a story behind them.
Yes.
And there's a good article I read online about. It kind of went through the origin of all of those trophies when you start talking about Floyd Rosedale and Paul Bunyan, Paul Bunyan's axe. There was a story behind each of those trophies and why they've got each one. It makes no sense to just manufacture one. And I don't think there's a lot of love lost between Nebraska fans and Wisconsin fans. I think Wisconsin fans still look at Nebraska as sort of the new guy wannabes, and we really haven't lived up to that. I mean, we've got one really sketchy win over Wisconsin, and then the rest of the time, Wisconsin has essentially owned Nebraska in the other few games that they've played.
Just remember, whoever wins is going to experience the ultimate amount of freedom. Hey, don't forget the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. It's coming up January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln, and there are some great speakers, and that's why you are not going to want to miss this fabulous event. The keynote speaker is going to be Bobby Bowden, former head coach of Florida State. Courtney Hall will be the Forge Legend Award winner, and Gunnar Esiason will be the cystic fibrosis speaker. Of course, Gunnar really has been the face of cystic fibrosis since the Boomer Esiason Foundation was founded. And we are talking about the Wisconsin game, Rob. And let's talk right away about Amir Abdullah, who yesterday was at practice for the first time, had the knee brace on, and they said he looked okay. But they're not willing to say whether or not how healthy he's going to be for that game on Saturday.
I can't see him not playing at this point. I don't think they would have put him in pads if they weren't going to play him. I think that was the whole point.
I would agree with that.
They know they've got to get him padded up and get a few practices under his belt before he goes out there and hits again. And so I think that was the whole point of it, is let's see how he's doing. Now, you'd expect him to continue to progress over the next few days here. It's just, are you going to see a big difference between him looking okay in practice on Tuesday, and all of a sudden is he going to turn an amazing corner and be full speed come Saturday at 2:30? And I'm not sure you're going to see that happen. On the flip side, I think it's a value to have him. Even if he's not full speed, you put Amir Abdullah on the field and all of a sudden you know the defense is going to key in on him, and it might open things up for the rest of the offense. I worry still about what we talked about in the last podcast, that you've got this guy who's coming back from an injury. Is he going to be mentally able to overcome that? Is there going to be some kind of mental block where he's sitting there thinking, well, you made some of these automatic cuts and moves and hip shakes that he was able to make previously before this injury. Is he going to be able to instinctively do that, or is he going to be a little bit gun-shy and tentative before he tries to make one of those moves? Because that's one of the things that's really defined him. One, he's really, really tough. I get that. Number two, he's one of those guys who can just absolutely leave somebody sitting there with their jock strap in their hand and a broken ankle lying on the turf as he races onto the end zone. And I worry about him having the ability to do that.
Is it too cliche to say if anybody can do it, it's Ameer Abdullah?
I don't know if it's too cliche. I like I said, I think he's a high character guy. I think he's an incredibly tough ball player. When you look at the number of carries he's had, the amount of pounding he's had, when you look at some of the plays he's made earlier in the year, that McNeese State game's kind of a it's kind of an easy one to go back to. I mean, there was a game-ending drive of a game Nebraska could potentially lose against a 1AA team. That's a little bit of a high-pressure situation, and he went in it. It's not far-fetched to say that Ameer Abdullah essentially he got, I think, a really, really good block, I believe, from Kenny Bell on that game-winning touchdown he had, but he essentially won that game single-handedly for Nebraska. And outside of the block that Kenny Bell made, I mean, Ameer single-handedly just juked about three or four other guys, broke a couple of tackles on his own in order to score that touchdown. Yeah, he's the kind of guy who could do it. It's just, is he going to be able to do it against Wisconsin's defense? It's a little different than McNeese State's defense.
Well, I was going to ask you, following that up with the offense, obviously can't turn the ball over. They turn the ball over, it's going to be a long, long afternoon in Madison. But, you know, they're going to need more than just Ameer Abdullah to win this football game.
Oh, by far. And I think that's part of the reason why even having him out there is probably helpful, even if he's not 100% full speed. If you've got a guy that can draw a little bit of that attention of the defense away, you know, Tommy's had a couple of not very good looking games the past couple of weeks prior to the bye week. You know, if Tommy comes out and plays relatively well, at least for him, keeps it within the scope of his capabilities and plays well, I think having a guy like Ameer out there to take a little pressure off, to have the defense keen on him and not so much on Armstrong, can make a big difference. But we're going to need those other guys. Armstrong's going to have a good game. You can't have another outing like we had against Purdue, because unlike Purdue, Wisconsin has a very solid defense. Unlike Purdue, Wisconsin has a great offensive line, an incredible running game. Purdue's probably got him at the quarterback spot, but I think Wisconsin's has improved incredibly since that first three or four games of the season.
Of course, if you want to follow and be entertained, Dr. Rob Zadiska on Twitter, do so at DocTalkSports. He's very active, especially on game day, and I think you'll be amused by some of his tweets. It's at DocTalkSports. Where's the biggest difference here? Is it where's this game going to be won for either team? Is it the Nebraska offense or the Nebraska defense? Is it the Wisconsin offense or is it the Wisconsin defense?
It's going to be a combination of things. I think, one, Nebraska's defense is absolutely going to have to shut down that running game, and that's going to be a tough thing to do. When you look at what Wisconsin's able to do, you know, you go back to that Big 10 title game where Nebraska just got brutalized a couple of years ago. They had Melvin Gordon. They had James White. They had Monte Ball. It was just one running back after another. And now you look at that roster again, you've got Melvin Gordon, you got Corey Clement. I mean, it's just, they kind of keep doing it. I mean, they just keep reloading at that position, and they've got a couple of NFL caliber running backs here on that team that they can just absolutely destroy you with. They've got an offensive line That was a little inexperienced coming into the season, but when you look at those guys now, they've got three seniors and a junior in the starting front four on that offensive line. And they've kind of come into their own, and they've been blocking very, very well up front. It's given Stave a little bit of time to kind of mature. It's given the coaching staff a little bit of time to sort of work out this weird two-quarterback system they've got with Stave and McAvoy. And they've kind of got that offense clicking right now. It's going to be a hard offense to stop because it's a running game and it's a style of rushing offense that's hard to stop. They can punch it right up the middle. They can hit you with those toss sweeps. You saw what Nebraska's had to face with it before. If Nebraska can stop that running game, especially the outside running game, I think Nebraska's going to be fine. You get a guy like Melvin Gordon, it's like Amir Abdullah. The guy hits the corner, he's gone. I mean, they almost beat a pretty solid LSU team on nothing other than the fact they just got Gordon to the corner for the better part of three quarters of that LSU game and just kept gashing LSU for these long touchdown runs. I think that's going to be the key thing for Nebraska. Now, at the same time, I don't know. I haven't quite figured out Wisconsin's defense yet. You got a defense that's top five in the country. And other than that LSU game, they have played nobody. And at the end of that LSU game, LSU was moving the ball really, really well against this defense.
And I think, don't you think that's a key? If that Nebraska offense can stay on the field and keep their own defense off, I know time of possession, it's cliche, but wear this defense down, because you're right. That's what happened against LSU. They just get tired.
It did. And I think LSU has better athletes across the board than either one of these teams we're talking about here. But that's something I think Nebraska's got to do. And I don't know if that's their strong suit. And some of the reason I say it's not their strong suit, it seems like it's not the style that Tim Beck likes. He doesn't like that grind it out, pound it out, getting 3.5 yards every play. Just isn't his cup of tea. And it tends to work not in Nebraska's favor. And I think if Tim Beck would maybe hang his hat on a grind-it-out running game a little bit more, I think you'd see a lot more consistency out of Nebraska's offense, and I'd be a little bit more comfortable in this game. My worry is that Tim Beck's going to go out and go, we're going to catch him off guard. He's going to start chucking the ball downfield on first down. And when you've got some really good wide receivers, which I think Nebraska has, But you've got an option quarterback in Tommy Armstrong. It's not the passing attack that you want to have in that particular situation. You need somebody who's a better pocket passer if you're going to do that.
Of course, supporters of the Husker Doc Talk podcast include HuskerMax.com for up-to-date Husker news each and every day. And make sure to find it at HuskerMax.com. And the Benson Brewery in the heart of Benson, now with a brand new menu, a brand new chef, and you'll want to get there on Tuesdays for $2 Taco Tuesdays. It's the Benson Brewery with great locally brewed beer and great food as well in the heart of Benson. Rob, let me ask you this. Who's the better running back, Abdullah or Gordon?
I think they're both very good. I think it's kind of a contrast in style. I don't think you're going to see Melvin Gordon as that classic take it and pound it up the middle. And at least when he's been healthy, Amir's been able to do that. I mean, for a guy who's not huge, Amir's incredibly strong and he's got incredible leg power. And he can play the power game. Melvin Gordon hits the corner, you're not going to catch him. The guy is gone. I mean, LSU couldn't catch him from behind. It's just a matter of whether or not he could get to the corner. But when he can, you're not going to catch a guy like Melvin Gordon. Amir Abdullah, you know, you get a halfway decent safety or cornerback who's got a 4.45 40. I hate to say it, you're going to catch Amir from behind on occasion. He's very, very fast. He's got NFL speed, but he's not going to outrun every defensive back in the country. Against most teams, he's going to outrun them, but he doesn't have that kind of that pure slasher speed that a guy like Gordon has. They're both good. You know what? If I was a head coach, I'd take either one of them. I don't think Amir is as much of that true breakaway hits the hole and he's gonna burn you with a 4.240 like Melvin Gordon is.
You mentioned
on the same side though, one of the things that killed Wisconsin in that LSU game is when LSU was able to take the corner away, Wisconsin was not able to pound it up the middle. So I think if Nebraska's key thing is not only do they – I mean, it's not that they have to take the running game away from Wisconsin and Melvin Gordon. Nebraska just has to take that outside corner away. Yep. If they can force Wisconsin into trying to do an inside pounded-out running game, I think Nebraska's going to get them.
You know, you mentioned the quarterback situation at Wisconsin. I was looking at the numbers the other day, just the splits between the quarterback performance, especially in the passing game, even the running game, at home compared to where they are on the road. You'd expect it to be better at home, but it is glaringly a lot better quarterback play at home out of Wisconsin than it is on the road. Can we read into that? Because besides LSU, have they really played anybody?
Well, no, they haven't. And that's part of the reason I said their defense is a bit of an unknown. They've got just stellar defensive numbers. I mean, I couldn't give you exactly what they are, but I think they're leading the conference in most categories. And I know they're top five in the nation in total defense. But, yeah, again, they haven't played anybody. Now, I didn't – go ahead.
No, I wouldn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched the Wisconsin-Purdue game, but that's one of those things where, you know, you look at Nebraska's score and you look at Purdue's score, and those two scores were essentially identical. So it's just Nebraska had them at home and Wisconsin played them on the road. That defense is, like I said, they've played similar to how Nebraska's defense has played against the same opponents. It's just that they look insanely good on paper. We just haven't seen them against anybody except LSU, and LSU just destroyed that defense in the fourth quarter. So it's a big question mark in my mind.
Before I let you go, you are correct, because Iowa got beat up last week at Minnesota, just ugly. So it looks like this thing does go through Madison, but let's take the West out of it. Nobody, and I mean nobody, wants to play Ohio State right now, do they?
No, they don't. You know, Urban Meyer, I think the guy's an absolute genius. I don't know if it's him or who it is on his staff that coaches up quarterbacks, but they've taken JT Barrett. And, you know, it's almost one of those Braxton who? There's a lot of fans out there who've already forgot Braxton Miller. And the crazy thing is, they get him back next year, assuming the guy wants to come back for a senior season. It wouldn't surprise me if the guy decides, you know what, forget it, I'll just take my chances in the NFL draft, because why come back and compete with JT Barrett when the guy's putting up the numbers like he is? Frankly, I think Barrett's a better passer, a more accurate passer than Braxton Miller is. And so I think Ohio State right now is absolutely stocked. You're seeing the fruition of Urban Meyer's first couple recruiting classes now. Those are the guys who are all playing at this point in time. It's just an absolute machine in that place. And I think you're seeing the fact that one, it's an ugly loss, that Virginia Tech loss earlier in the year. But the more the season goes along, the more you realize, well, Braxton Miller's out. You got a young quarterback without a lot of snaps. There was a lot of just kind of feeling things out, learning on the kind of learning as you went there. You know what, they got their shit together now, and that is a team that is clicking on all cylinders. I sent the tweet out about this. I don't know if I want to play them in a Big Ten title game. Right now, they are playing very, very well, and they're kind of hitting a peak here as you head into towards the end of the season.
Dr. Rob, I think Saturday's game is going to be entertaining. It's going to be smash mouth Big Ten football, as a lot of people have grown accustomed to. Of course, you can follow Dr. Rob Zadiska on Twitter at DocTalkSports. Follow him today. You will not be disappointed in the content that he puts out. Make sure to go to the Remington Trophy presentation January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. You can hear Bobby Bowden. You can hear Courtney Hall. And you can hear Gunnar Esiason. For tickets, tables, or sponsorship information, go to RemingtonTrophy.com, a proud sponsor of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. I'm Travis Justice. For Dr. Rob Zadiska, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy.